It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. On Friday, November 21st, iconic actress Isabella Rossellini will be in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Music Hall for a special presentation of her one-woman show, Green Porno, adapted from the Sundance Channel series of the same name. Ms. Rossellini, who directs and writes the episodes, has put together a thoughtful and humorous performance lecture that celebrates biodiversity while focusing on mating rituals and insects and marine life. The series features her acting out the reproductive habits of bees, hamsters, ducks, dolphins, and seahorses, among others. Let's listen to a clip from an episode about the sex lives of praying mantises.
My mate is a cannibal. She has eaten many husbands already.
But that doesn't scare me. My sexual drive is the strongest. I would approach her carefully. I would mount her. I would penetrate her. She would turn her head. She would snatch my head off.
She would eat me, but I keep copulating. Nothing stops me. I keep going. Sex!
And she joins us now by phone, Isabella Rossellini. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So how much did you know about the mating rituals of praying mantises before you embarked on your Green Porno Seduce
Me
series?
I was always interested in animals since I was a little girl. So it was a hobby of mine. I mean, I always thought that I was going to make maybe documentary film. And I tried to when I was little and I was trying to fantasize about what to do when I was a grown-up. I thought that maybe I would make documentary or film about animals. But then instead I became a model, and then modeling evolved into being an actress. And now after this career are over, due to my age, I went back to university and studied animal behavior. And while I was studying, I started making this film that turned out to be so successful that now there is also a monologue that I'm touring, and I'm coming to Pittsburgh on November 21st.
And we're looking forward to seeing you. As I've watched these videos, I'm curious about what kind of research you had to do for this series and how you went about preparing for it.
Well, it's very helpful to go back to university. I'm taking a master's degree, not only because I'm learning, but also because I have a lot of professors and they are all very helpful, and there is always a scientific counselor when we write, you know, that helps me not make any mistakes. And so this is all very helpful. And then partially is just my knowledge and what I have known. The most difficult part for me is to write it because, you know, scientific language is very dry. So it's to take something that is written very dry and find the humor in it and make a funny costume, but yet don't betray the science, you know, still be correct. That takes me a long time. Sometimes it takes me 8 months to write a 10 episode series on animals, and we shoot them very fast, and we edit them very fast, but the thinking about it is what takes the longest.
And of course, you're performing in these videos, and as a female of your species, Isabella, which of the females in the species that you researched did you most identify with?
You know, I don't really identify with any species. What is fascinating is the differences and the similarities. What is fascinating also is that there are so many solutions to one problem. Basically, in my monologue, I talk about reproduction and how do you perpetuate a species. And there, so it's one problem, but there is thousands of solutions to one problem. And that is what is so fascinating. I think a lot of us don't think about it. We think, oh, well, it must be the same as mom, daddy, then babies. But it isn't like this. Some animals are both male and female, each individual. They are hermaphrodite. Some animals are born one sex. They're born male and turn female when they're grown up or other way around.
I am a very common worm, yet the names of two Greek gods, Hermes and Aphrodite, are needed to describe me. I am both male and female. To have babies, I need to mate with another hermaphrodite in the 69 position. Sexually mature worms like me have a clitellum, a kind of a muff that I can slide along my body. First, I push the clitellum to collect my eggs, then to collect my partner sperm. Then I slip it over my head and drop it to the ground.
So all this is to me very fascinating, and I think we studied it in school, but we forgot about it, or we didn't pay attention, or classes were boring. But my monologue, it isn't a lesson, so I was very flattered when a reviewer said it's the best biological lessons you ever heard. I see myself as an entertainer, but the information that are in my entertainment are correct, are scientifically correct.
And in addition to that, these are compelling. Certainly the episodes we've seen, and we're looking forward to seeing your performance in Pittsburgh, because as you say, there's humor, there's an interesting performance aspect in this. And also a New York Times reviewer made an interesting comment about your show. He said, most obvious is that although nature includes plenty of heterosexuality, that is only one of a wide variety of ways that animals pair up, reproduce, and raise young. Nature, it turns out, has been doing the modern family thing all along.
Exactly. Well, this is one of the things that is wonderful. You know, there is something that sometimes I'm asked, are your film teaching us anything? I don't know that they can teach us anything, and they're not really meant to teach you anything, but just the information per se. But it is, when it comes to homosexuality, you know, it was always believed that it was just something among us human, and that it was something maybe due to our society or upbringing, that it wasn't natural, that it was against nature. But we have seen, in fact, that a lot of animals, homosexuality exists. So the reason might be that we gave the act of mating a too limited role. We think it's just for reproduction, but it might be for others. It might be for bonding. It might be for creating hierarchy. It might be to feel like a family. He could be for many other reasons. And in fact, if we think about it, it has been like that for us too. Not every time we make love, we do it to have children. But we make love also for other reasons. And that is true also for animals. So I think a lot of people that were gay feel very elated when they come see the show, because they feel like, oh, great. it exists. We are not. There's nothing wrong with us. It just exists.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with actress Isabella Rossellini about her one-woman show, Green Porno, which is coming to Pittsburgh, and it's based on her internet series of the same name. Which of the characters that you portray, and you portray all of these different species, which did you most enjoy portraying?
You know, I did 40 short films, and I'm talking in my monologue about 65 different animals. So it's hard for me to select. I don't have a favorite animal. Many different solutions that are interesting.
Let me rephrase that then. Was there, as you were doing this, was there one particular species in which you said to yourself, yeah, I'd like to be her or him for that matter?
Well, I know that I don't want to be a male praying mantis, because the female would eat them when they're mating with them. So the female eat the husband. So I don't want to be. Often males, they don't have it very lucky. Bees, you know, as they mate, the queen bee, when they, after ejaculating, they leave their penis in the royal vagina and die.
I would mate her in flight. It's our nuptial flight. But pulling out from her, oh, my penis would break off. It would get stuck in her vagina like a cork in a bottle, but it would prevent other males from mating with her. She will be queen. She would start a new colony with my babies. But I would die Without my penis, I would bleed to death.
So a lot of male sometimes have a very sad destiny. There is one male that is the anglerfish that has it nice because he attaches itself to a female. He's very small, and he becomes almost like a parasite, a parasitic husband. You know, she would nourish him. She would provide even the blood vessels that would mix with her. So she provides everything, and he just attached there. He doesn't do anything. He just provides sperm when she's ready to be a mother. So maybe an anglerfish isn't that bad. On the other hand, it may be not such an interesting life. So I think I'd rather be a female when I think about those males than...
and which mating ritual did you find the most repulsive?
I don't know that I don't know that I find anything repulsive. To me, animals in nature has always been fascinating. And I don't really think it's fascinating because it translates to something that I can use in my life. But just pure curiosity. So I don't know that there is one mating ritual of a certain animal that I find disgusting.
How did you go about adapting these episodes for the stage?
It was very helpful to have Jean-Claude Carrière helping me write it. Jean-Claude is a very venerated writer who's actually the recipient of this year's Academy Award, the Oscar, for his career. He wrote for directors like Jean-Louis Buñuel or Peter Brook, and he's a man in his 80s, and he saw my films and liked it very much. And actually, the idea to write the monologue came to a friend of mine, an actress called Carole Bouquet, a French actress, and she had worked with Jean-Claude in one of the Buñuel films. And Carole was very instrumental in the creation of this monologue. I was very intimidated. I wrote short films. I didn't know how to write a monologue. And she introduced me to Jean-Claude, and she had showed Jean-Claude my film. So she's a little bit like the godmother of this project. And it was fantastic to be able to work with him. And I've been touring it now for over a year and a half to many countries in Europe, from France. The show is originally in French. We did France, Italy, Spain, Germany, Greece, Holland, Belgium. We went to Australia and five countries. We are in the United States, and I'm still being asked to keep on touring it. I guess go on the road for another year, I think, or even two.
What has the reaction been to the show?
It has been very positive, and all over the world it's been very positive. People say exactly what I wanted them to say, which is to laugh. This is funny, and I am yet surprised and by the scientific information. I want people to laugh and then say, oh, I didn't know that, and be amazed about science. And so we hit the target. Everywhere, people seem to have had the reaction that we wished.
And I must tell you, I from watching the videos, I learned a lot.
Great, yeah. But I hope you learned a lot by laughing.
I did.
That's the best way to learn, isn't it?
Well, you're a very engaging performer, and you do approach it in a very humorous way. It is a side of you, I think, that maybe a lot of people haven't really seen.
Yeah, maybe, you know, because I was a model and an actress, so I work on other people's idea. I was an interpreter of other people's idea. These are my idea. I'm the author of this film.
And I know that looking at the environmental aspects of this, part of this, certainly the third season of your series, specifically focused on the concept of overfishing. And talk about why this is important to you, Isabella.
I was actually contacted by a marine biologist whose name is Claudio Campagna, and Claudio works in the Atlantic, in the southern Atlantic, in Patagonia, Patagonian Sea, where it's very rich of fish, but not so rich now because all the oceans have been overfished. And he asked me if I would make some of the films by calling attention to the conservational aspect and problems. And so we did a series of films, always trying to be comical, because also the conservation message is really dark. I mean, we know we are during a time of mass extinctions due to pollution, loss of habitat, climate change, all caused by men. So the news isn't very good. It's very difficult to make people laugh with that in the background. But I tried anyway, and bring the focus to the fact that the ocean is the last foraging ground for us. You know, almost everything that we eat that comes from the land is from agriculture. We seldom eat maybe sometimes some mushrooms or a few other things that are grown in the wild, but you never find them in the market. But we still are foraging the sea for wildlife, and we are eating it up. And so the fish is in great danger.
What age range would you say this show is suited for, Isabella? As I watched these, I was thinking to myself, you know, would I want to bring a younger child to this? And I found myself kind of going back and forth, but you know, between yes, oh no, and then again, maybe yes.
Well, some friend of mine brought their children. You know, they were maybe the youngest one was 7 or 8. That came, it really depends on the parents. Are the parents open about sexuality? Are they open about reproduction and different method of reproducing, or are they not? I'm not talking about stork. And also, I'm talking about how...
No, you're not.
I'm not talking about how people make children, but I'm talking about how animals make their likes, their offspring. And so it really depends on each family if they feel that... sex shouldn't be talked about until you are an adult, even sex, worm sex, then it's up to the parents. But some of my friends brought their children, and they seem to have enjoyed it as much as the adult, and didn't seem to be shocked or scandalized, but actually quite amused. And I tell you, the children, then they come and they say, oh, let's go look under this stone. Maybe we'll find a worm, and tell me about this, and do you know this bug? What does this bug do? They become very fascinated with nature. So not with sex, but just nature.
So the parents just have to be prepared for that car ride home from the show to answer all the questions, I guess.
Yes.
Isabella Rossellini has been our guest. She is bringing her one-woman show, Green Porno, to the Carnegie Music Hall on Friday, November 21st. Isabella Rossellini, it's been such a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Do it again now.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Essential Pittsburgh will continue after this break on 90.5 WESA.